So how did you go about, once you started to understand all of this, how did you go about changing your habits?
I mean, he claps and he looks at me in this real serious tone, you know, his eyes staring right into my soul.
How'd you change your habits?
All right, hold on.
There, now I feel so much more relaxed. There's not this open loop of seriousness.
This is my favorite show ever. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today is June 10th, and we're doing something new. Story behind today's release is I was recently looking into the statistics of some of the audio and video content that I keep behind a paywall, and I would look at the title of something and I would say, oh, I remember this. That was really good. How many people have seen it? 12? That's not enough. So what I would really like to do is start letting some of the older stuff, that I find a lot of this stuff to be really enjoyable, and I think you will too. So I'm going to start letting it go very slowly. We'll probably do this twice a month. And there is a criteria for what will be released. I ask myself, if I put this out, can people learn something new from it? Or can they have their memories refreshed on something important that we did in the past? And today, it's really the latter. One of the most time-consuming and challenging audio editing projects was taking about 5 hours of recorded live material from August 22nd and August 29th of 2013 and cutting it into the very lean Presence and Productivity series. But what happened to all those fatty scraps? Well, here they are. And when you're working with guys like Richard Grove and Tony Myers, the scraps are pretty damn tasty. And I even did a little editing here because I know your time is valuable. I took the things that I found to be the most important and most helpful as far as review is concerned, and I put all that in the first half of the show, and then yes, it gets progressively sillier from there. So look for this feature to appear in the podcast feed twice monthly. It's called Free AV, and I hope this will inspire more people to sign up and help us out, but I'm also looking forward to sharing some of this diverse and fun and different sounding content with more people. So that's what's going on today. There's more stuff coming soon. I'm sorry we've been a little light lately. We've had some technical issues, we've had some scheduling issues, and we're getting ready to hit it hard again soon, I promise. So schoolsucksproject.com/AV to sign up and help us out. And you can also go to our series drop-down menu to find all the episodes in the Presence and Productivity series. Thanks again, everybody. Here you go.
And I wanted to talk, if it's in your outline, about the horizons of priority, because I think that's another
the
issue.
Altitudes?
The different altitudes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Let's do that.
I have a brain model here. Let me... All right, so what you're looking at is a little test brain model that I give away for free when people purchase my brain model. Everyone has a life, so I figured we'd start on the common ground. And then the different altitudes of thought, you can start at your runway, which is what's going on right now. And going up from there, you've got current projects. And going up from there, you've got, you know, 2-year goals, 5-year vision for yourself or your family. And then you've got 50,000 feet. Did I skip areas of responsibility? Yeah, I probably did.
You did.
This is my first presentation of this model. Accidents happen. But the idea is that your priorities are of a variety of levels. And so if you're making decisions about a project, you should have first understood how that project fits into your 2-year vision, your 5-year vision, your life vision of, you know, what is your life vision? Oh, to live life with integrity. To do what I said I was going to do when I said I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To live non-contradictorily and to use voluntary communication skills.
So they're sort of starting right? points in a way.
Yeah, if you're doing that all the time, wherever you're going to be is going to be a good place.
The usefulness of that too, whether we're talking about in the short term or the long term, is that in the book Getting Things Done, David Allen gives this example of how does it feel when somebody blows you off? You know, how does it feel when somebody cancels a meeting, or how does it feel when somebody doesn't follow through on what they're supposed to be doing? And think about all these open loops that you have in your life, whether you're talking about things that you need to do today, this week, this month, ambitions that you have for the year, for 5 years, for 10,
And if you're having all of these ideas and ambitions that you're opening and then never closing, it's kind of like, first of all, not that you're violating one of the six pillars of self-esteem, which is integrity, but you're also continuously letting yourself, the person you should care about most.
You need to know how many of those things you can accept and then legitimately say, my schedule is saturated to the point where I can't accept it with any integrity. And people don't want you involved if you can't be responsible for the actions.
Sure.
You can at least tell them up front. Say, look, I would love to be involved, but I don't have time to participate in that project in the way that you would like me to participate in.
In the political realm, I felt like I mastered that a long time ago. I think it was in like the 40th episode of my show where I said, listen, you know, if you want to feel free and efficacious, start closest to home. Start small. Start with yourself.
Sure.
And if you want to feel small and powerless and overwhelmed, you know, go take on the Federal Reserve or try to help Ron Paul beat Matt Ramsey to get the Republican nomination.
Mitt Romney.
I call him Matt Ramsey. I think it's funnier.
All right, it is. It's funnier that it's on purpose.
Yeah. So if you want to help Ron
Matt
Paul
Ramsey.
Beat one of those guys, Matt Ramsey, in the 2012 RNC nomination, then yeah, go do that. Personally, however, I think I found a lot of solace and comfort in doing the work that I do. But and while I think it does have some positive benefits, it also is projecting myself away from myself to strangers, to people who aren't really part of my life. You know what I mean? So
you could just pretend they're Ed Snowden.
What do you mean?
Listening in.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, well, that's comforting. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I think that this kind of work does have positive benefit, but there's also a lot of mental, emotional preparation that needs to be done. When you talk about some of the topics that you're asking people to take on, I think you've set things up in the second round of your podcasting career. You set things up really well because you said, here's a method. That was at the beginning, right? The $1 million education. That was your second episode.
Yeah.
And then you threw some pretty heavy shit at people.
Yeah.
And I was with you 7 years ago, but I've gone almost 250 episodes of my podcast talking about very little of it. And, you know, I'm not stunned by anything you say, really. But I know that a lot of people in my audience are and shy away from a lot of these topics. So finally, I feel like we've provided enough of a running start to start talking about a ramp to start
a
talking
ramp.
About these things. But you're asking people if they don't have some of that, you know, groundwork done, you're asking for a lot, right? Because people can very easily get overwhelmed.
You could look at it as me asking.
No, I'm not saying you.
I'm just sharing. And if people take it upon themselves to say, hey, here's a ramp and I know how to climb one step at a time.
Sure.
Good for you. That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, there's a lot of information. I mean, when we talk about these contexts in history, there's a lot that hasn't been, you know, presented to us. And so all of a sudden, you know, it's not just a little bit. We're talking about eras of history that just, there's so much detail and it's such a rich tapestry.
Sure.
That, you know, it takes a long time to go through each point. And so having a method to help individuals, you know, go through each of those instances that we're trying to uncover to lead up to why our social and institutional systems are the way they are today, how we interact with them. And, you know, it takes a ramping up.
Well,
so
learning
on one hand,
to think is like learning to walk,
but,
and there is a method to it and you need to practice it. And then you can just hike with us all through the different episodes. And that's really what it is. You're like, you cover some steep terrain. Well,
so there's like two
don't
parts
start out
to this,
steep.
Though.
The mountain starts out real slow at the bottom and starting the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And of course, then there are the individuals that are just slowly, you know, awakening to these ideas and they need a sort of, need to be condensed first and foremost. And you have, you know, we definitely have what you've been missing.
Mm.
That was one of your first productions I came across and that was very condensed. So it was, to me, it seemed professional.
As professional
I enjoyed
as we could
it.
Make at the time.
And then, you know, a lot of your other productions really provide a lot of meat. And sometimes biting into that meat, it can be kind of overwhelming. It fills me up a little
but
bit.
But there's a reason to eat the meat. There's a reason
no,
I put
there
it out there because
is.
Basically
so, well,
there's a problem going on. There's a practical problem I'm trying to solve, but there's not enough people educated about what's going on to even share the solutions with. And so we have to educate not only myself, but if I make media, I can help other people do the same thing for themselves. And that's what I'm asking for. Unleash your potential and start consuming some of the data that would help you make a decision that's not contradictory to what you think, you know, life is about.
And this is sort of the also and, you know, with your show, you're slowly ramping up in a different perspective, presenting people maybe from a more libertarian-minded or more different, you know, economic situations or just whatever.
People who are
matter.
Afflicted by public schooling.
Yeah.
That's everyone. You know, that's the great generalization.
That's the brilliance of
easy
this podcast.
Same.
And so, you know, just being able to condense it down, present it a little bit differently. You know, presenting all, it's just different streams leading into the same river. As the way I look at it. And so, you know, if it's just a different modality or way to explain some of this information, if it's either it's condensed and then here's the meatier version of it, they all help lead to the same sort of ideas that we're trying to express. There are methods for cognitive self-liberty that we're trying to present that we've not only found useful, mm-hmm. that it seemed to be a generalization to all humans and all individuals.
And
out
if
there.
Somebody's got something better, make some media and show us, check it out. We'll, you know. We use whatever the best tool is around. If you got a better, sharper, you know, stronger tool, we're open to using it. But the, like, we had no tools before and now we've got like 3 or 4 tools and we're like, these are really cool tools. It's good to have technology that works for our own survival.
Well.
How often do you get in a fight? How often did you guys need to use physical self-defense today? Anytime? I needed to use intellectual self-defense a bunch of times today. I know it's not good to ask a question and not let you answer. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a joke that we did go to the driving range. So
you had to defend yourself from my practicing of hitting the ball. I haven't
only
hit
you,
golf
but a couple
ball
other
in
people.
Like 12 years. So
actually, yesterday I really had to protect myself. But
Tony sponsored half a bucket. And I was like hacking it.
I haven't had to employ any physical self defense skills in 9 years.
That's my point. That's but you true. Have to you have to employ intellectual self defense all the time. Decide is this guy gouging us for a bucket of balls? Decide is this golf course in a safe area?
Yeah.
You know, this sort of thing.
And I think a lot of us have to do, you know, I mean, we might all be at different stages with this too, but we have to defend ourselves against our kind of emotional doppelganger, you know, that's this voice.
Well,
these ants.
Actually,
first off, having an emotional doppelganger is your choice. And if you want to have that, if it makes your life more wonderful, go ahead and worry and have that coming in. But that happens when it's not structured.
Okay, do you have uncomfortable negative thoughts that just creep in out of nowhere?
Sure, and then I deal with them.
What do you do?
I don't know, write them out or take action. Like if I have something to do, you schedule a meeting, and if not, you take action.
I think for me, the way I deal with it is just acknowledging that this is what exists right now. When those negative thoughts or those emotional, you know, feelings come into play, this is how I feel. I acknowledge it, I observe it, and I give it a name. And sure. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to just go away. You know,
right.
I've developed, you know, for me, it's just finding a habit that at least brings me some tranquility, something else I can focus on. It doesn't necessarily take it away, but helps me get into a sort of alpha brainwave state where I can just kind of like imaginatively work through it. And so, it's everyone has probably a different way of getting into that sort of state, that sort of meditative state. That's something they love to do is usually probably the easiest.
But if the question is dealing with the unknown or something you're not familiar with, or it's the same process. You observe it, you identify it, then you organize it and take out the contradiction, and then you're left with something that's usable.
Well,
whether it's learning or activities or anything else you encounter.
Well, I mean, you mentioned earlier, like, it's really a choice. It's a philosophy. It's a way to live life. So ultimately,
it's a series of choices turned into a habit.
But the idea that these methods are abstract, you know, that we can't touch it. There's not like a box here and be like, oh, we opened the box and everything's automatically solved. It's a series of patterns and habits you have to inculcate by using it. You have to actually, like, you have to internally recognize it.
Before you do that?
Your mind. Your awareness, your ability.
Unstructured, default thinking, stimulus response.
Oh, well, sure.
Inconsistent thinking, inconsistent problem solving, inconsistent dispute resolution, inconsistent productivity. So the key to the habit is knowing the method, making the habit, improve consistency,
and that helps you have
certainty.
Exactly.
And that helps you have less and less doppelganger moments.
Sure. Related to this is Daniel Siegel, a guy who I mentioned a couple of times, his idea of having this tripod for the camera that is the mind.
Mm.
And the first leg of the tripod is openness to what is. The second is objectivity, which is how you're able to process that. And the third is observation of the self and to understand that you are not the totality of your negative thoughts.
Right.
You
are that's the grammar, the logic, and the rhetoric. Because I said in my podcast intro today that it's a tripod for us, and it's metaphysics, which is existence, epistemology, which is consciousness of existence, and the law of identity, which means things are what they are, which is the same three things that I just heard someone else word a different way.
It's the same thing. You have a shaky camera that's not capturing accurate pictures of what's going on out there, and that's turning around inaccurate representations.
It makes people motion sick, too. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked what an emotional doppelganger is. It's
usually that's how
it's like, it's kind of like what it relates to what David Allen says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, your mind doesn't give a shit about your need for present moment awareness. You know, it just doesn't give a shit. It will take you. It'll wake you up. I was lying in bed last night at 1 o'clock, and I said, I think I left a fan on in the third floor in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Why do you need to know that now? Wouldn't it have been good to know that before you left?
I envision the idea of the doppelganger as something that pops up at the most random times. Just like you said, you're laying in bed. It's your shadowy double self. So it's those ideas, you know, that monkey mind, as they oftentimes I hear people employ.
It's the I can't or that's impossible.
Or just the most random thoughts that cause us stress or anxiety that just pop in at the most random times. Yeah. And just how do we deal with it?
Dismiss the doppelganger as arbitrary and move on.
That's easier said than done for most people.
I think it is.
Well,
I'm just talking from...
There are many things that are formed from habits that are easier said than done. Right, but if you form that habit by doing it consistently...
That's right.
100% agree that habits can change these things. Yeah. I just want to be mindful of, you know, having read through my forums and seen some of the things people are dealing with. I think I shared, you know, one of them with you that, you know, everybody's in different stages. And I think it's really important for you to say that habit does change these things because it does, and I know
you don't get rid of habits, you have to change them into something else.
Right.
Part of David Allen's method, one is the method itself, but you know, coming with that is the idea that we have to inculcate a habit or pattern that is going to start going in this pathway. That's
well, and the easiest one is the 2-minute rule. If you see something that you need to do,
absolutely.
Instead of filing it or taking the time to organize it, just do it in less than 2 minutes and you're all set. You know, and incorporate time in your schedule to do that. That's the first step, I guess, planning for it. And then you can do it if you're that type of person.
If you can just maintain consistency with changing one habit that happens to change a lot of other habits, I mean, that's a huge...
The keystone habit idea.
So,
get rid of your mental doppelgangers.
I mean, obviously it takes time, but, you know, I like the way he expresses it. You know, David Allen in his audio presentation that we first consumed. At
the
least
audio the lectures.
You know, he said these executives, it was a light bulb. Is this something that went off for them as they started to do it? And all of a sudden they realized how much stress and anxiety just started to dissipate once they started to engage with this method. But it's something they have to
start. Well, the specific example, so people can have their own light bulb go on, is there was an executive who was overburdened and didn't have time in his schedule and he was all stressed out. And he says to David, you know, what should I do? And David draws out the 6 perception levels of priorities. Yep. And he says, at what level would you like to have this conversation? And the guy's like, I get it. Like, he has kids growing up. He's missing out on their lives. That's, you know, he has priorities in conflict with his scheduling. And his schedule is no longer the most important thing to him. He's going to leave right now, go to his kid's game. And then he, you know, is agreed, you know, he'll have a talk with his wife and say, I don't want to be partner. And here's why, because I'm going to miss out on my kid's life. And you'll have one less ruthless person out there because they're happy. And that's what... You know, makes the world a bad place. Not everyone's happy. But none of us are really given the tools to be happy. So it's amazing that anyone even gets to be happy by this random chance of, you know, the default setting before you learn how to structure your own thoughts and use them to your advantage and get things done.
Well said. Well, that was everything.
No way. I can't believe we covered your list. I call you out.
Got a highlighter?
I got a highlighter.
Actually, yeah.
I got a red pen. You want to use red pen and mark
off
what you've
done?
Yeah,
red pen for corrections.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you got
the document
with us here, distracting you the whole time. See, you were still able to be effective even while things were going off point
and
you were dealing with interruption.
Yeah, I kind of think let's just turn on the mics and talk with a general idea and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because that's what this format of the show is.
You got to be careful because we're both from Pennsylvania. I'm from outside
of
Pittsburgh.
We're all from Pennsylvania.
I'm a Yinzer. I'm a Yinzer though. Pittsburgh people, right? Yinz guys. So
we say Yuns.
Yuns. You say Yuns. We say Yinz.
Yinz what?
Yinz guys.
Yinz guys?
Oh, yeah. Yinz guys. Instead of you guys.
Yuns.
But in Pittsburgh, they say Yinz guys. I had to totally transform.
Oh, Yuns guys?
No, Yinz guys. Y-I-N-Z. Go to PittsburghGeese.com. You can see all the translations so you can learn how to pick, you know, speak to a true Pittsburgher downtown.
here's a really interesting question. For all three of us, at the age of 21, which we're all beyond, at the age of 21, how would you have lived your life, planned for the future, if you had the tools and information that you have now? And
that's a good question.
It is.
That's a good question. Are we going to go back in time or something if I answer this?
Well, you always talk about time machines.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question. If it was common knowledge, if what I know now was common knowledge as far as research goes and how the world works and stuff like that, I would have continued running my own company or made a new company idea. I wouldn't have gone to work for those companies. I wouldn't have blown the whistle. I might have made less money, but I would still have it as opposed to making all that money and getting it taken away and losing it and being stupid and ignorant of my surroundings. And, I don't know.
So it's a values change.
I would tell myself, take life seriously, but not too seriously because you gotta have fun while you're on the ride.
But, you know, I think what you're explaining there is just the idea of this internal values change. I mean, obviously engaging with these methods, I think just the way in which we engage our life and the values.
It changes the way you can engage with life is the biggest meaningful part. Like if I had these skills back then, like, you know, you could do anything you want, but you're not talking about a legitimate system. So it's not like you can go be president without compromising your integrity or anything like that.
It's the idea of the priorities.
And then, you know, when you discover how the state works, like, do you even think that there should be people out there that don't know us, that claim they represent us and all that stuff going on? I think that's a bunch
of
BS.
Have special rights over us.
So yeah, I mean, you know, people have a lot to learn, but even what we know today is not common knowledge today. We're still struggling to get people to just realize like, hey, you're voting for force, fraud, and aggression, or violence, fraud, and aggression. I gotta update my thinking. It's not force. Force isn't good
it's
or
violent,
bad.
True.
You can use force in self-defense. Yeah. Violence is violating non-aggression or violating someone's rights. Right. Violating violence.
Yeah. I mean, you know, engaging, if I had these methods at the age of 21, I think awakening, cause at the age of 21 was about the time I did awaken to a lot of these
You could take
over
ideas. The world.
Right.
Right? It's very linear. All the structures are very linear. It doesn't seem very creative. And all of a sudden you wake up to these ideas and these institutions. You're like, I'm already about to go out into this world. I don't feel prepared for it. I recognize there's these problems, but I don't have methods to solve them.
You've been
them.
Feeling like that since kindergarten. Why do we get
well,
sent out
it wasn't
of the house
acknowledged
without knowing how to tell when people lie? It's very simple.
Sure.
Why don't we do that? How about this? Why would we send kids out of the house without knowing how to manage their time? They're going to get homework and stuff like that. Like, you know, we're just sent out there when these tools
exist. We're just told not to talk to people.
Don't, yeah.
Don't talk to strangers.
And listen to the teacher.
Right.
So you did pop right there when you copied.
For me, it's a difficult question to answer because my whole life would be entirely different. I mean, when I was 21, I was a senior in college. If I didn't have the experiences, I mean, if I had the information that I had today, I certainly wouldn't have gone to work for the school that I went to work in when I was 21 years old in 1999. I wouldn't have gone on from there to pursue a graduate degree. I would not have gone into the other institutions as a teacher because I wouldn't have had the ambition to be a public school teacher and then administrator. So, I mean, I was about to get a degree, a worthless degree in communications. If I knew everything that I did today, I mean, I still would have finished college because I had, you know,
people had expectations.
Well, I only had a handful of credits left, so even if I saw the futility, I would recognize the waste of time that it had been to, you know, I might as well put that piece of paper in my pocket, you know, so I can use it as a ticket to at least get into job interviews. But I think, it's very hard to say what I would have done because when I was 21, it's really almost paradoxical. I didn't know anything when I was 21, and that's what led me into all of these experiences that brought me to where I am today. So.
Ignorance can be very interesting.
I can't say what I would have done because I don't know who I was because I had put no thought into it at that age. Had I not done what I had done, and not learn these things, I probably would have wound up writing for a newspaper.
Being a big sports fan.
I don't have any regrets in that respect.
Because we can't have regrets, otherwise we wouldn't be here right now. Like, if you had regrets about how you got here, it's
I just think
crazy shit had to happen for all of us to find our way to this desk. Yes.
Sure.
But we all
survived. I mean, we had to go
it.
Through some pretty interesting situations.
And afterwards,
it was,
afterwards we got methods. Now, it would have been great to have the
to
methods.
Have the methods
beforehand.
Because then there wouldn't be as much fear or ignorance or
exactly.
uncertainty. And that's
exactly.
that, you know,
but
waking
then it's
up
taken away
age.
From the ride. It's just a ride. It's just a ride. So far, we're hanging in. Did that answer the
sure.
question?
Yeah. You want to take five and do like a little more show?
Sure.
All right.
Sounds take good. Five.
What did I get out of this? And what I learned was that most of the WordPress themes have a feature called drag and drop.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. if you go to the website, the front page of the website, if you're watching us live, it's easy to do. I redid the look of the front page of the website and a few other pages just a little bit,
yep.
just to make it look a little more friendly to yeah. somebody who maybe isn't on board with all of the like the philosophical and political ideas that we're talking about.
No, that's huge. It's really important to have that sort of basic, big buttons, simple concepts, simple terms. It actually applies exactly to David Allen's method. You know, just a couple simple terms, grasp, get people interested, have a graphic, because people spend maybe 5-10 seconds on a website and they're either interested or they're out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that sort of like, I mean, that's my old marketing training in me, but it's, right. it still applies to the way in which we actually utilize information in our present day in the technology age.
Right. So what I wanted people to see, like the first thing they're going to see is the domain name, which has the word sucks in it. Okay. Which is more cold and prickly than warm and fuzzy. And that is, you know, from a marketing standpoint, as far as kids go, that's great. And people agree that it attracts the target that we're trying to attract. But, you know, since I've kind of shifted away from tutoring and really devoted most of my working time to the expansion and improvement of the School Sucks project, people still ask me what I do. And it's a harder question to answer than before I could just say, oh, I'm in education. You know, I run a tutoring business.
Yeah.
We do SAT tutoring.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Or, you know, if I feel like people aren't going to understand what I'm talking about, I'd be like, I work at Circuit City.
Just say you work with computers.
Yeah.
I work with applications.
I work with applications.
There you go. You're an app consultant.
I consult. Yeah. consultant, always a good but very suspicious job title. So, you know, as I'm introducing more people, like I'm kind of owning this as my profession. It doesn't mean I'm, you know, turning my back on tutoring. I know I mentioned earlier that I was looking for, you know, supplemental work as a tutor in this area, or, you know, work that I can take anywhere, wherever I might go next. So, I want the people, if new people come to the site that I just meet and somebody says, well, what do you do? And I tell them, I want them to see something that's not going to scare them away right away.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tweak the look of the site, and this is going to be an ongoing project over the next couple of weeks, to be more friendly and more welcoming to somebody who might not be, you know, terribly comfortable with these ideas.
Or because, just, so, you know, just starting to delve into them for the first time.
Yeah.
Know, dive right into these sorts of machinations we've uncovered over the years. So it's important to start out kind of generally. Give them little tidbits. So they'll find it themselves if they find it useful and, you know, discover the, you know, metaphorical bread trail.
Absolutely.
Trail for themselves, because it's something they have to inculcate in their own being. They have to find it internally valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's the trick. That's the great trick. Cause they, you know, the classic cliche, bring horse to water, you can't force it to drink. Open the door, you can't force someone through it. Sometimes I want to push them through it, but we all know what happens when we try to do that.
Right. And I think that that relates to, you know, trying to incorporate another input processing and output methodology,
yep.
which is nonviolent communication, into even if it doesn't always show up in my speech, folks, and I know it doesn't, I am doing a show here. I'm trying to incorporate it more into thinking about myself and also my private dealings with other people. So 3 years ago, if somebody had a problem with School Sucks, I would say, oh, that's okay. You're probably just dumb. And I would give them a balloon, you know, that says the state on it and pat them on the head and send them on their way. But now I understand. I'm trying to be more understanding of the just not, I don't want to say information deficits, because that tries to, I think, put me above other people. Just the experience deficits, or the differences of experience that I've had that other people haven't had. And
sure.
I can't blame them for saying, yeah, school, education, synonyms. I get it. You know, what you're saying is shocking. It makes me uncomfortable. And trying to be less confrontational with that message in a way that I hadn't been in the past. So anyway, back to the how did I deal with the frustration.
Yes.
I said, okay, well, there is a feature called drag and drop that's translatable to numerous WordPress themes. Now I've spent the time to learn the ins and outs of this program. I've also, the current theme we're using is called PageLines.
Okay.
It's a WordPress BuddyPress theme that I am now a master of in many respects.
That's good.
So if we decide eventually to go back to PageLines, I know how to, you know, use it.
Yeah.
Efficiently.
Yeah, you know how to work the template.
Absolutely.
Which is, I mean, WordPress is, it's fairly simple, especially when you get a template. You know, you can learn the nuances. They make the layout, how to go ahead and manipulate and create the website, pretty simple. I mean, if you go through it enough times, it's really not, it's not quite as hard as, you know, just starting with HTML.
I'll give you another one too, because I have lots of practice answering the question, when the hell am I ever going to use this in my real life? A question kids often used to ask me in relation to math.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in public school, you can ask it about almost anything.
There
but
you go,
I had a good answer for math. This is exercise. This is a treadmill for your brain. This is a little gym obstacle course for your brain, you know, that this requires thinking that is often unfamiliar and uncomfortable. And an active brain is a brain that's making connections.
Making connections, making relationships, and that's kind of what math does.
An inactive brain.
Between variables.
Yeah, is a disconnecting brain.
That's right.
Right. So you could even say that if you could guarantee engagement in school, school would be good for kids' brains. Unfortunately, they disengage, and there's all kinds of other emotional and even safety factors at this point that we have to consider in the government schools, and all of the misinformation really that shows up in science, history, and English.
Decontextualization, as they would say.
Yeah, and the psychological impact of the milieu itself.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm not ready to say that school has a positive impact on the brain. We're kind of doing the opposite message here generally.
But in math, you know, you're trying to give a good answer. And the answer, essentially, it's just trying to create relationships.
Yeah.
You know, in a neuro perspective, in a brain perspective. So even if they don't use that one formula the rest of their lives, it's just the fact they try to go through and, you know, map out a relationship, getting their mind to think about, you know, utilizing this in a different way. So it's very powerful. It's a good answer.
Right. So how did we get to there? Pause, everyone. This is just a pause. If anyone needs to use the bathroom, go ahead. Get a drink.
We have a new set up here. Let me switch the camera. I gotta be cognizant of where the camera is.
Because it doesn't make any sense if I want to make a highlight clip and I'm saying something great and the camera's on you.
It's on me.
The whole time, and you're just going, yeah,
you're kind of
yeah. What you're saying is fucking great. This is terrific.
You can at least put your, you know, well, I don't know. I guess there's no cut two shot.
Right. No, the two shot is actually good. Maybe I should just leave it on the two shot. The quality with these cameras is probably high enough that if I wanted to make a highlight clip, I could probably keyframe these. Like, so it would just be me.
It
might get a little blurry.
Yeah, it might get a little
that.
Blurry when you expand it.
There might be
not a bad idea.
Where did you get your e-cigs, Brett? All right, we're going to take a break for about 5 minutes because I want to just kind of evaluate where we're at here. Does it sound like we're on coke? To me, it feels like it sounds like we're on coke. Like we're both talking really fast, which is fine. This show has good energy.
Tangents.
Yeah. You know what they say about coke, kids?
Yeah. It keeps you moving, you know.
Keeps you moving. Keeps
walking a foot above the ground.
It's like high school math, you know. It keeps that brain connecting. Coke. Today's show is brought to you by cocaine.
Keeps the brain connecting until the bell rings.
Right.
And then you're off to your new disconnected,
if you're young,
unrelated subject.
Yeah. If you're young and you're new, the serious message here is don't do drugs until your brain is done growing. Then weed is all I would recommend. If you can get by without it, I would say do that. That's a sincere...
And the brain doesn't stop developing until about 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So our bodies might stop around, 18 to 21, mm-hmm. but the brain keeps going.
What I would say, too, is, you know, and again, folks, stand on my shoulders and learn from my mistakes, you know. Does that make sense?
Role models.
Stand on my shoulders. Learn from my, maybe not stand on my shoulders, but learn from my mistakes. Learn how to be productive. Learn how to be a productive adult before you introduce drugs into your routine, right? Because once you form habits of productivity, some marijuana at the end of the day might be a nice complement to that.
Relaxing.
It's better than alcohol.
It's true.
And honestly, I know our Coke is one of our sponsors, but it's better for you than Coke, too.
Oh, no.
Cocaine.
The government's going to be after you soon.
Yeah.
God forbid it can be used for almost anything. You can grow hemp, use it in textiles, use it for fuel.
So the question,
too good.
Question was about our e-cigs. There was another thing.
E-cigs.
A lot of people wanted to yank my chain with this. I would call all these tobacco stores. I would say, do you sell e-cigarettes? Hmm. I had to learn really? Twice the hard way. They would say, yes, we do. What they meant is they have ones you can smoke once and throw away. So then my question became, okay. Do you have e-cigarettes? Are they disposable or are they the serious ones? I said, meaning if you're dealing in disposables, you ain't serious about vaping.
That's good to know. You have to make sure then the tobacco shop you go to actually has a bit more than just disposable ones on hand, just because people are looking for them and get quick sale.
Right. Any other questions not related to what we're talking about? I think in the intro to the show, I'll deal with the just the basics, the, you know, collect, organize, process, review, and do. Collect, process, organize, review, do.
Which is essentially how you gain control. So
let's take a pause for a minute. Okay, Tony and I have to set up some new lines.
More clapping? More snapping?
No, I meant lines of coke. That's a joke, though. That's a joke. I feel like this show has a very frantic pace that I like tonight. We've covered a lot of stuff. I mean, the whole recording of the actual show is about an hour and 20 minutes so far. So I think we've definitely got a lot of good material. I do like to pause and look through the chat. Does anyone have any questions at this point that you could cycle back to the bottom of the chat? Oh, earlier I saw somebody quote me saying, I did want to do this during the last break. Somebody had put a quote up where I said, cocaine is like high school math. I would like you to go ahead and make a meme, and I'm going to pose for a picture where you can make that meme. I'm going to do the pose from the Ancient Aliens guy, and I just want you to do a screen capture and then put that in and post it on Facebook. Now, you can do this with anything I say. You can take anything I say completely out of context, make these memes, put them on the internet. Here's the pose.
Do you know that picture?
Oh, I do. there it is. Got to get the hands more involved.
I also will do a condescending Willy Wonka.
What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite actor?
My favorite actor is Al Pacino. Donnie. Ah, shit. I figured out a trick to do it. There's little tricks like for learning these impressions.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just a keyword.
Well, I think it's that you need a running start for some of these people. Like, so for Pacino, I just say the things that I know him saying, right? Yeah. And then, come on, Donnie, I'm in the dark. Wait,
can you do the Southern Al Pacino?
He kind of has a Southern accent in,
what was that movie we watched?
Yeah, Scent of the Woman.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit in Scent of the Woman as well.
I don't know. Wait a minute. Now. All right. See, it would be good if I could just do it and I don't need all these. I don't know who went to this place. I can't get the echo. The room had an echo. You better think again.
That's very well
And he's
done.
Always chewing gum. The way you start, here's just a quick impressional tutorial. The fourth tutorial of this live show. Start
procedures out of this
looking
shit.
Around the room kind of weird, like you're chewing gum. Now you're getting, this is, you're getting
into the mindset.
Pacino brain.
Yeah, there you go.
This is called. Now there's other ones too. Like with Christopher Walken, you just start talking in a New York accent and then you start to add strange things.
Mannerisms.
To the, some accents, the accent. Here and there.
Yeah. That's true.
Morgan Freeman. Okay. You can start doing a Morgan Freeman impression by just
tips.
Everything you say, you just start by saying, ever since I was a boy. Ever since I was a boy. Ever since I was a boy.
That's obviously pretty fucking good.
Ever since I was a boy. I have always been fascinated by the lives of penguins. I'm Morgan Freeman.
Narrator of 10 different films. Not many more than that.
I would like to recite a poem.
There you go. Recite it.
This is actually a pretty, for you're kind of like a grounded guy. This has been one of the craziest live shows we've ever done.
I'm very grounded. Very calm, very cool, collected, very straightforward. But, you know, I'm not very good at impressions. I can only do a Mickey Mouse impression, apparently.
We have to come up with some kind of a skit where Mickey Mouse...
Smiley, run from the teddy bears.
Mickey. Mickey Mouse came to... where are you, Mickey?
I'm in East Hartford.
Mickey Mouse came to East Hartford. It's your line.
And I'm learning how to get things done. Hurry, Minnie, let's learn how to do this.
Okay, everyone picture the black and white cartoons.
Ever since Mickey was a boy.
He was afraid of teddy bears.
He always had a problem getting things done.
Too many open loops, Brett.
Mickey set out to cloak. I want to see if people are like, fuck you, shut up. I'm going to bed. I'm going to watch Joe Rogan. I'm for not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens. Yes.
They invented the school system.
Please put that up. Please just, no one else has to see it. Make it and send it to me. With the picture, I'm for not saying it was aliens. it was my birthday 3 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
What a wonderful gift that would be.
If you could hand carve it in wood, it would be even better.
No, just with the picture. I already provided screenshots. Do people need more screenshots?
I'm just making unrealistic expectations.
I want to be the star of memes.
See, now they'll be able to do this because they got things done, or they have the method of getting things done. So
right.
They're going to be able to create the Venat alien picture.
Now, here's the other thing, too. I'm not usually this relaxed on these shows.
Really?
I'm pretty relaxed, and I'm good at acting relaxed.
Okay.
But I feel really relaxed. We've got things. I know what exactly needs to be covered. When it's all been covered, I'll edit it together. People
get the goof off in between.
People who will have a wonderful 2-hour video that they can watch that includes a lot more stuff when everything is said and done.
It's very beautiful. I mean, there's not too many open loops. That's the reason why we can stay relaxed. Mental RAM is clear. Nothing's being cached. And not cached in a different way. For any nerds out there that understand that lingo.
Ever since I was a boy, I've looked for ways to clear my RAM.
Morgan, how'd you burn your hand?
Ever since I was a boy, the Illuminati have tried to burn me. I don't know what that means. I thought I heard somebody say something about that today. Hollywood. Scary place, everyone.
You know what a Hollywood is, right?
What? No, I have heard this.
It's from a holly bush or something?
Yes.
Casting spells. Something like that. Making people believe shit's happening when it's not. That's what Hollywood does. So, you know, they just script all this shit they're doing. But it's just the motion picture is real life. It's quite brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Quite brilliant.
All right.
We could degrade into worse topics, but...
No, we do have other stuff we need to talk about in more of an after-show format, so let's see where we're at and how I can bring that back. That's all right. We defined what we wanted to do.
Snap, crackle, pop.
The tools that existed, where can they be got? Where can they be obtained? Excuse me. Persuading people. I think we've talked about this very enthusiastically. The hardest part being habit change.
Did we cover the habit change pretty in depth?
No, I have a few more questions about
it. Okay.
So, how did you go about, once you started to understand all of this, how did you go about changing your habits?
Sorry. I mean, he claps and he looks at me in this real serious tone, you know, his eyes staring right into my soul.
How'd you change your habits? All right, hold on.
There, now I feel so much more relaxed. There's not this open loop of seriousness.
This is my favorite show ever. Type 1 if this is your favorite show. All right. So.
Making it useful for us. Hope that made sense.
Say. Of making it useful for us again. A little more assertively.
Of making it useful for us again.
Without again. Say it again. I say of
Of making it useful for us.
Of making it useful for us.
The end.
The end.
Okay. Nice, because we'll have some music coming in, and I just wanted to make sure it was a real strong
closing
ending.
Oh,
yeah.
I could have done a little bit. That's
right. I'm understanding now in production how to save time in editing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's why I take it again. We're snapping. We're clapping. You know?
It's a children's show.
Okay, so that's the regular. Do you want to do a little more?